Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Sorry for our indifference. Sorry for basing you on our experiences and not what you have said in your word, Lord God. We want a childlike heart, Lord God. So we just let it all go. We just lay it down at your feet. And I just speak hope in every single person in this place. I just speak hope, a new hope to just rise up, to just break through nothing that would possibly make sense in this earth and this kingdom, but your rules, your kingdom, Lord God. You fed thousands with just a little boy's bread and fish, Lord. So we just give what we have to you, Lord. What is in our hands, Lord, and we just say, use it, Lord God. Lord, I just pray and just break off any confusion and fear that is holding on to us, Lord God. We want to lift our vision higher, Lord God. We can always hear so much clearer when we're up on that mountain, Lord God. And we just want to go up to that place, Lord, that intimacy, Lord, when no one else is around, and just be with you so we can hear you and not be afraid to hear you. So, Lord, I just bless every single person in this space, Lord God. I just speak your complete shalom, your complete healing, Lord, your complete fullness, Lord. I'm expecting that when people walk into this place, Lord, you're going to do miraculous healings, and I'm going to continue to practice your presence, Lord, and put myself out there, Lord, and risk failure, Lord, and just keep on going, Lord, until we see what your son has paid for 2,000 years ago. So I just speak complete healing over everyone in this place, Lord. Emotional healing, Lord. Physical healing, Lord. Mental healing, Lord God. I speak that nightmares turn into God dreams through the night. I just speak visitations, Lord, from you, Lord God, from angels in heaven, Lord God. And just lead us to the path, Lord, where you want us to go, Lord God. And we trust you. We trust you. We trust you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
So good morning, everyone. Can you believe it's only two more weeks until Christmas? Are you ready? We'll get more of that later. Last week, Matt encouraged us with one of the primary themes that we find in the Gospel of Luke, and that was the idea that it says, fear not, do not be afraid. I think there was like nine verses that he shared. And along with those verses in Luke, there's actually hundreds of times throughout Scripture that those words or some form of that theme that says, fear not or do not be afraid, is found. So it's something that God wants us to really get deep within us. But I want to warn you that I'm not sure if that applies if you don't get things for the people that you love at Christmas. I'm not sure that you shouldn't be afraid if you're not ready. Last week, Matt talked about how there's some people that in the church who say that Christmas is based too much on some pagan traditions, and that perhaps we shouldn't participate in some of these things. But he encourages us to make the most of this season, to make the most of the time when the majority of the people, whether they realize it or not, are celebrating around something that's centered on the birth of Christ. So rather than looking for ways that we can divide ourselves from the world, we should look for ways that we can come together. You know, look at myself. I'm growing my beard out in case there's any Santa Claus gigs available. I'm letting it get a little bit longer. But, you know, actually, I would rather that if I would be more like Moses and I could deliver people to his presence than presence to his people. I want to encourage us also about another thing that I think people get distracted with. Sometimes people, Christians and believers and people in the church, get distracted by and too focused on. Don't get offended. Don't get angry if somebody says Happy Holidays rather than Merry Christmas. You know, it's really not a war on Christmas, because the word holiday is derived from holy and day. So we should be happy, even though they might not know it, that people are acknowledging the most holy of days. So if they wish you happy holidays, just simply say happy holy days to you as well. And don't be angry if people say season's greetings. Even more than knowing and saying that Jesus is the reason for the season, it's important that we know and that we let others know what season we're truly in. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more today. In Matthew 16, 1 through 4, it says, "The Pharisees and Sadducees came up and putting Jesus to the test, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, 'When it's evening, you say it will be fair, for the sky is red. And in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but are you unable to discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation wants a sign, and so a sign will not be given to it.'" You know, last week, Matt talked about the examples of Zechariah and the father of John and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how both of them asked God how the word that was given to them about the things that were going to come would be fulfilled. And Zechariah, for his questioning, was unable to speak until the time of John's birth. But Mary was given a favorable answer. And Matt asked us to kind of ponder why that might be. And, you know, we can speculate and we can come up with different ideas and theories about that. But the one thing that I see in that is that Zechariah asked for a sign. He wanted something that would confirm to him what God said. And Mary simply seemed to want to understand how God's plan would be fulfilled, not that it would be fulfilled. In James 1, 5, and 6, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." You know, it's okay for us to ask God for more information, but we shouldn't question his ability to do what he says. We should ask for wisdom rather than a sign. So I want to go back to Matthew 16 again. And in this season, I think it's vital that we discern the times, that we truly know what the season is that we're in. And because it really it is that the times themselves, the things that are going on, the times themselves are the season or the sign of the season. There's not going to be another sign. The times and things going on are the sign. The season that we're in is known in the church calendar as Advent. And Advent is defined in the dictionary as the liturgical period preceding Christmas, beginning in Western churches on the fourth Sunday before Christmas and in Eastern churches in mid-November, and observed by many Christians as a season of prayer, fasting, and penitence. Another definition, the coming of Jesus at the incarnation. And the final, a broader, the coming or arrival of something or someone important or worthy of note. And if we truly discern the times, then we should recognize that the season we're in is not only a season for us to look back at the birth of Jesus, the coming incarnation of Christ, but also to look forward to the noteworthy arrival, the second coming of Christ. In Matthew 24, beginning at verse 3, it says, As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will mislead many people. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for these things must take place, but that's not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, but all these things are merely the birth pains. Then they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will become cold. But the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, then the end will come." You know, have you ever been in the mall or like in a park and you've seen one of those signs that says, "You are here"? I think we can look at this and ask the question, are we there yet? Is that where we are? The text continues there and says at verse 23, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'He is over here,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will provide great signs and wonders." And that's why we don't look just for signs. "So as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I've told you in advance. So if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go up, out. Or 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." A few verses later, "Then the sign of the Son of a Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet blast, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." While the world looks back with us 2,000 years ago to the birth of Christ, the first advent, we who can discern the times, we who recognize the season that we're in, should be looking forward to the next advent, his coming again. 2 Peter 3 through 15 says, "Know this. First of all, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as they were from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded by water. But by his word, the present heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly people. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be discovered. Since all of these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God?" But according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Peter then, a little bit later, answers his own question about what sort of people we ought to be. He says, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found spotless and blameless by him. At peace, do not be afraid, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation." You know, much of the church today focuses on a message primarily of the grace of God. And it's good, it's right, because we're in that age of grace. Those who break down the different periods of God's working in accordance to man call it the dispensation of grace. So we're in the age of grace and a season of grace, so it's good that we focus on grace. But we need to recognize that in truth, God's grace isn't that he's changed his mind about sin. It's not that he tolerates or embraces sin as some in the world would believe and would say. It's that his grace is revealed in his patience. That he's giving time for all to come to repentance. My meditation a few days ago began in the book of Revelation. And I thought that morning how appropriate it is that as we focus on the advent of Christ's birth, that we also meditate on the book of Revelation, the vision of his second advent. The coming and the revelation of Christ. Not that he'll be born again as a baby and savior, but that he's going to return as a righteous judge and conquering king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The book of Revelation begins, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place." Remember in Matthew, he said, "These things must take place." Here again, the things that must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, everything that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near. You know, and although it's been 2,000 years, John rightly says these things must soon take place. First, know that it's important that we recognize that it must take place. He said it, it will happen. Again, in 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9, it says, "Do not let this one fact escape your notice, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." And while it may not seem that 2,000 years ago is soon, we need to understand that God's not limited by or to finite time as we are. God's delay isn't about slowness, or it's not about the length of time. It's about his grace giving patience for all to come to repentance. The text in Revelation 1 continues and says, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he made us into a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and is to come." He's not restricted by time. He's eternal. So he's not concerned with how long it is until Jesus comes, because he's written the beginning and the end. In Matthew 24, again, when Jesus was talking about the signs of the end, in verses 23 to 27, he says, "If anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'He's over here,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and provide great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I've told you in advance. So if they say, 'Behold, he's in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or 'Behold, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." You see, when Jesus returns, it's not going to be as a baby born in a stable. It's not going to go unnoticed. It may not come upon a midnight clear or in the silence of the night. It won't need the proclamation of the angels of heaven saying, "Hallelujah to the newborn king." There won't be three kings bearing gifts and traveling far. And there won't be a star over Bethlehem. No sign will be needed. No one will be deceived when he comes. By the description of what he says will happen, we'll know when he comes. No one will be deceived, but some may be deceived, Jesus says, by thinking he's already come, by the false Christ and the false prophet. The text says, "I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet and wrapped around the chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool and like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been heated to the glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came the sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write the things which you've seen, and the things which are, and the things that will take place after these things.'" Now keep in mind, think about it. John, the one who writes this vision, is the same person that at the Last Supper laid his head on Jesus' chest. He was that intimately familiar with Jesus as a man. They spent that much time together. He knew them that well. But when he saw Jesus in all of his glory, even John fell at his feet like a dead man. I think there'll be no mistaking when the Lord comes. No wonder it says in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Look again at what Jesus says. "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and death." Last week, we saw that at the first advent, those that were included in the great miracle were told not to be afraid. And so here we see Jesus also saying that we shouldn't be afraid about his second coming. In Matthew 16, 13 to 20, it says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one. Not only does Jesus have the keys to death and Hades, but he's given them to the church. He's given them to us who in this season know that he is the Christ. And the gates of hell will not stand against those who understand that and know that he's the Christ. We have the power to bind and loose. Yes. In Matthew 16, he warned them that they shouldn't tell anyone that he was the Christ, because that revelation comes from the Father. But when he left, in Acts 1 through 8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." So the revelation that Jesus is the Christ still must come from the Father, but we're to be his witnesses. We're to be the ones that tell the world what this season is, what season we're truly in. I asked you in the beginning, and I ask you again, are you ready? As we go out today, and as we go out through this season, and really until all the time that he comes, may the words of this familiar song of the season be our declaration. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks and hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Amen. Do not be afraid. And although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Happy Holy Days, Season's Greetings. Are you ready? Don't be afraid. Go tell the world. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well right here. I'm digging a well in the valley.